Thank you for joining me today. My name is Russ Mirren. I am the pastor of Bonclover Road Baptist Church. Today we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And this is the passage where Jesus Christ says to Peter, "You have gone where you wanted to go as a young man, but someday as an older man, they're going to bind you up and they're going to take you to a cross and crucify you." Obviously, it was evidence that Peter was going to grow in Christ. Back at the judgment hall, he was afraid to say that he even knew Christ. And now, later in life, he's going to be willing to be crucified like Christ. So Peter makes a great gain here. But then they ask the question about John. Is John not going to have to die? And Jesus said, "What is that to you? That is my decision." So I want to take you to the church auditorium right now for today's message from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. So today we're in John chapter 21. I want to begin reading at verse 18. Jesus Christ is the speaker, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself," you dressed yourself. Now Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, "And you walked whither you would, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall dress thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto Peter, Follow me." Now what he said to Peter, he said, "Peter, when you were young, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted to go. But now, Peter, when you're going to be older, someone else is going to dress you, and they're going to take you to a cross, and they're going to spread your hands out, and they're going to crucify you." And Jesus is saying to Peter, this is the way you're going to die. Verse 20 says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" So Peter looks around. Jesus said, "You're going to go to the cross, Peter." And then Peter looks around and he sees John. The Bible says that John was the one that Jesus loved, and John was the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast when they were at the Lord's table. And he says to him, "Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Lord, if I'm going to be crucified, what about John?" In verse 22, Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come," or "if it's my will that he waits till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." What is that to you, Peter? If I decide that John should wait till I come again, you follow me. Verse 23, "Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, Thou shalt not die. But if I will that you tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Well, here's the setting for this message. If you go back and you read all of chapter 21, it is after the resurrection. Christ is risen from the dead. But if you remember at the judgment hall, Peter denied Christ, and he denied him again. And then he left the judgment hall. He wept and cried. He repented of his sin. And ultimately, Peter quits the ministry. And Jesus has now raised from the dead. He comes to Peter, who is fishing. He comes and he restores him. In chapter 21, verse 15, 16, and 17, Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you have a godly love for me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I have a brotherly love for you." And Jesus said the second time, "Peter, do you have a godly love for me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I have a brotherly love for you." A brotherly love is, we say the city of Philadelphia is like a brotherly love. A godly love, agape love, is God loves you unconditionally. And then the third time Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you have a brotherly love for me?" And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, you know I do." You know, at one point in his life, Peter was not ready to die for Jesus Christ. He wasn't ready to die a martyr's life. He was to a degree willing to follow him. Then we come to this passage in chapter 21, and Jesus confronts him and says, "Do you have a godly love for me?" And Peter is humble before that. But then he says, in beginning in verse 18, he said, "Peter, one day you're going to die for me. You're going to be a martyr." So there's a picture here of Peter. Peter's growing in Christ. At the judgment hall, he feared and he fell. He fell and he cursed God and said, "I've never known him." But now later, we find him confronted by Christ, and Christ says to him, "Peter, you are going to literally suffer and die for me. You're going to be a martyr." So you see, Peter is growing. And it's kind of interesting. Right after he has this confrontation with him where he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He confronts him with, "Peter, death is coming. You're going to die one day. You're going to be a living sacrifice." All right? So we come to verse 20. And it says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" So he asked the question, what's going to happen to John, Lord? And Jesus gives him a pretty rebuking answer. He says in verse 22, "If I will that he tarry," or that he wait till I come, "what is it to you? What's it to you, Peter, what I do with John?" Some people say that they would serve the Lord Jesus Christ if they could get all their questions answered. You know, "I'll serve the Lord, but you need to answer this question for me." But I'll tell you, in life, there's some things that none of us will know, and still God expects us to serve him. Peter doesn't get this question answered, and yet he goes on to be a great apostle for Jesus Christ. There are some things that we don't need to know. Some things we may want to ask God that we don't need to know what the answer is. Our obligation is to serve Christ. And then there are some things that are just literally none of our business. And Peter asked God here, "What about John? I'm going to the cross. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. What about John? What's going to happen to John? When's he going to die? How's he going to die? What's he going to do?" And Jesus says, "What's it to you, Peter? What's this man going to do?" And Jesus says, "You know what? It's none of your business. It's none of your business what he's going to do." In Mark chapter 10, do you remember this? The mother of James and John came to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, I would like you to have James and John seated on your right hand and on your left hand at the throne of God. That's where I'd like to have them seated." And the other disciples heard it, and they were disgusted, and they apparently argued and disagreed, and boy, they're puffed up. Why would they do that? The point being, Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking for, and it's not your decision." Do you remember the story where the laborers came into the vineyard? And they said, the first laborers that came into the vineyard, Jesus said, "If you work all day here, I'll give you a penny," which was a day's wage. And then about 3 hours later, he came back, and there were some more men standing there. And Jesus said, "Why are you standing there?" And they said, "Well, we don't have any work to do." And he says, "Well, if you'll go to the field now and work, I'll give you a penny." And then a few hours later, he came back, and there were some more men there, and he sent them out into the field. And finally, the last hour before the day was over, there were still some men standing there, and Jesus sent them out into the field. Now, when they all came back at the end of the day, Jesus gave the men that had worked the entire day, he gave them a day's wages. He gave them a penny, the day's wages. But then the ones that had only worked part of the day also received a penny. And the ones that had worked just an hour at the end of the day also received a penny. Well, the ones that had worked the whole day were upset. And they said, well, these people that just worked a day, an hour or a few hours, they're getting as much as we got, and we worked the whole day. And Jesus basically said to him, say, listen, we made an agreement. You work the whole day, I'll give you a day's wages. It doesn't make any difference what I do with somebody else. What's it to you? So in the Bible, I think there's pretty clear teaching that the rewards that God gives to you and me are up to God. It's God's decision. I don't have to worry about the reward that anybody else gets. I mean, I can desire that they get a good reward. I desire that they please the Lord. But I don't have to worry their reward versus my reward. It's in God's hands. And if it's in God's hands, we know, one, it will ultimately be fair. And not only will it be fair, but it'll be by grace. It means it'll probably be a lot more than I deserved anyway. So I think there's a principle here. Principle number one is I or you do not have to worry about someone else's success, someone else's reward, someone else's authority or power or recognition that they get. That's not our concern. That's going to be left in Jesus' hand, and he's going to reward the way he wants to reward. It's just not my business. It's not your business. Also, God's will for someone else does not affect my service or my obligation to God or yours either. You know, if God's will for someone else is to go pastor a church in southern Ohio, that doesn't affect me at all. If God's will for someone else is to go work for a corporation in Pennsylvania, that doesn't affect me at all. Or it doesn't affect you. My obligation is to serve the Lord in what he has me to do and to fulfill the obligations he has given me to do, and which is the same for all of us. You have to do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about what the other guy is getting to do or has to do. You and I are accountable to Jesus Christ to fulfill our obligation to him, to serve him the way he has asked us to serve. Number three, whatever God has you to do, that is his plan for your life. It's his plan for your life. If I try to do what God has for you to do, I'm overstepping. It's not my job to do what you're supposed to do. It's not your job to do what I'm doing. It's not any of our jobs to do what someone else is supposed to do. God has a plan for your life, and that's what you're supposed to do.